the minority stake that Ken Griffin was going to buy would have valued the Dolphins at not $6 billion, not $7 billion, but $7.5 billion.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Tuesday, March 26th. Today, I'm joined by John Orant to talk about the massive valuations of NFL teams, including the Miami Dolphins, recently valued at a cool $7.5 billion. Why are these franchises so valuable, and who these days can actually afford to buy an NFL team? John also talks about his interview with the CEO of Diamond Sports, the regional sports media company that's trying to emerge from bankruptcy, while also trying to hold on to a cornucopia of broadcast rights for leagues like the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where Chili Pad by SleepMe comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The Chili Pad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Chili Pad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. Chili Pads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, Chili Pad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to The Powers That Be. I'm joined today to talk sports, the business of sports, the media of sports with our pal, John Oren. John, I met you in person finally last week in the District of Disaster at the Puck event we had at the French Ambassador's Residence. It was great catching up with you about Georgetown's NIL deals, Gonzaga, and general DMV sports. It was nice.
As I recall, we did a deep dive into Craig Escherich, the former Georgetown basketball coach, which I think only the two of us could have done at the French Ambassador's Residence that night.
If anyone listening without Googling can identify or summon Craig Escherich's name, image, likeness, his mustache, please tweet at us. That's a deep, deep cut in college basketball world, but not only that, in Georgetown world. John, I want to talk to you about a couple things. One is one of your hobby horses, which is regional sports networks and how they're always evolving and in trouble and changing. But first, I want to talk about a piece that you filed a couple days ago about somebody that I know from the political world, which is hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin, who I know from being a Republican donor. I believe he gave a lot of money to Nikki Haley this cycle. But he's also been trying to buy the Miami Dolphins. One, how is that going? And two, tell our audience in the course of this negotiation how much the Miami Dolphins might actually be worth, because I was blown away by this number.
Yeah, that to me, Peter, is the big story, that the Miami Dolphins Well, to set the table a little bit, the Washington Commanders were just bought just recently by a group led by Josh Harris, and he spent just a little more than $6 billion on the Washington Commanders, a team that for the last quarter century has been terrible on the field. It has a decaying stadium that it plays in. Nobody knows where it's going to end up playing, and somehow that was worth a record sum of $6 billion. Well, Stephen Ross, who owns the Dolphins, he has been negotiating for the past several months with Ken Griffin about taking a minority stake in the team. And the minority stake that Ken Griffin was going to buy would have valued the Dolphins at not $6 billion, not $7 billion, but $7.5 billion. Now, that includes a team. It includes Hard Rock Stadium as well. So it includes more than just the actual team. But that number, $7.5 billion, it blew me away. But what made that story so great to come out with is that there's nothing happening there. It's as you would expect when two gigantic egos start to negotiate a deal like the Dolphins deal. Ken Griffin, he demanded a pathway to control the team. So when Ross ultimately wanted to give it up, and Ross was not willing to give that up at all. So those talks are off. They don't appear to be close to coming back on, but still that valuation, $7.5 billion, the amount of money going to NFL teams at a time when their biggest revenue stream, the of media, is going up in smoke. Just last week, the head business executive for the NFL was at a panel hosted by the Washington Post, and he was asked whether or not CBS would be around to complete the deal that it has that goes into the 2032. So there is chaos going on right now in the media business. But that is not stopping the valuations for these NFL teams, which is just one of the more amazing stories that I'm reporting on.
Yeah, I remember when, obviously as a Commanders fan, like rooting for Dan Snyder to sell the team, and Harris was in the mix and some other people were sniffing around. One of the talking points was, because he had owned the team for so long, what is this team worth? And the answer was, it's whatever somebody just pays for it, you know, in the year 2023 or 2024. Why would the Dolphins be so valuable? I mean, Hard Rock Stadium, I think is, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's kind of a dump. It's old. The team itself is good. I mean, I feel like they have all this energy around them that they didn't used to with Mike McDaniel coaching them. They got this high-powered offense. They made the playoffs. They feel like they are finally good again. Is that one reason it's so valuable? Or are there other sort of assets here that have sort of led to this price point or premium?
I don't think really on-field play has anything to do with a team's valuation. I think the Commanders are part and parcel of that. The view is that South Florida is a gold mine of a market. The Dolphins are an historic franchise that have been around for a long time. And there's a lot of room for growth with that team.
So at these massive valuations, how many rich people out there can afford these types of purchases, whether it's like a stake or a full out purchase?
Yeah, you need to be more than just a billionaire now to get these teams. And that's one of the things that all of the leagues are contending with, but especially the NFL. This week down in Orlando, they're having an owners meeting. And one of the items that was supposed to be on the agenda was whether or not the NFL was going to allow private equity to take stakes in the teams. And other leagues have allowed for that, the NBA, the NHL, et cetera. But the NFL, it's been much more conservative, much more slow moving. Nothing's going to happen this week in terms of deciding that. Most likely come May at the next owners meeting, they're going to have a vote on it. And the idea is that the current owners are going to love to have private equity because it's going to help to push up even further the value of a lot of these teams.
John, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about your interview with Diamond Sports CEO David Preschlack. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/powersthatbe, netsuite.com/powersthatbe. That's netsuite.com/powersthatbe.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable. With stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm talking sports with John Oren. John writes the Varsity newsletter for Puck. Please sign up. It came out last night, and you had an interview with Diamond Sports CEO David Preschlack. For people who don't know what Diamond Sports is, actually, you probably do, because they control Bally Sports, which is in so many local markets around the country, broadcasting, you know, college sports, baseball games, et cetera, et cetera. John, Diamond entered bankruptcy 1 year ago. They're currently trying to emerge from it. What did David tell you about this?
Well, nobody thought that Diamond Sports was going to be able to emerge from bankruptcy. It had to thread a needle to where it had to get a whole bunch of creditors to agree on a deal, and that would have been hard. And it needed to get the leagues, the NBA, the NHL, and MLB to sign off on long-term deals. Any one of those would be tough. And toughest of all, it needed to negotiate with Comcast, with Charter, and with DirecTV for long-term deals. Again, any one of those was going to be hard. Well, in January, they did. All the creditors came to a deal, and Diamond ended up getting a $115 million investment from Amazon. So that seemed like, wow, this is incredible. The way David Preschlack described that to me was that was like climbing Mount Everest. And he said, after 24 hours, we had to start to climb Mount Everest again, because now they have to do the deals with the leagues, and they have to do the deals with the distributors. And so his point is that moving forward, he thinks that the distributors and the leagues are much better off with a fully intact Diamond Sports that runs these RSNs than if Diamond goes away and all of a sudden there's an auction process and the rights go to whoever they go to, you know, local broadcasters or the teams might end up streaming on their own right. And so that's part of the pitch that he has out to get these deals done. They have a deadline that is approaching. They have to get a business plan in front of the bankruptcy court by April 17th, I believe it is. And so the clock is ticking on them to get these deals done, and it's a fascinating story to cover.
Okay, so that legal framework, that is also the deadline to get all of these deals done. Is the thinking that, you sort of just talked about this, but Diamond owns all of these different Bally networks that are in markets all over the country, that it's just easier to negotiate all of these different deals with the different leagues and the cable providers through a single entity? And if not, then like we're going back to sort of pre-consolidation world where the leagues are negotiating individually with broadcast networks in like certain cities. How does that work?
Yeah. So let's take the teams, specifically the NBA and the NHL. Right under the regional sports network system, you couldn't have come up with a better system for sports than the cable system, because The people down the street who aren't sports fans helped to subsidize sports fans like you and me to watch these games, because everybody paid for these channels, whether you watch them or not. As a result, teams were getting huge rights fees from these regional sports networks because they wanted to get that programming and keep that programming, and they were must have on cable. If Diamond goes away, some of these teams are going to see their rights fees go from like $100 million to nothing, just about. And then all of a sudden, player salaries, front office employment, marketing, there are a whole bunch of knock-on effects for that. So what Preshlak believes and what Diamond believes is that the teams and the leagues have a vested interest in keeping Diamond up and running. The holdout on this, of course, is Major League Baseball, I haven't mentioned, because baseball is taking a harder stance because it wants to get control. It knows that it's going to take a step back in terms of the revenue, but it wants to get control of the rights and have its own control. They're like, why should we subsidize a failed company or a failing company that's in bankruptcy? We can figure out what to do with our rights better on our own. And so that's on that side. On the other side of the coin is the distributors. Why would, like, Comcast looks at Bally Sports Networks? They're the most expensive networks on Comcast systems. Why wouldn't Comcast just want to get rid of them? Well, that's because what would come in if they got rid of Diamond is local broadcast networks who would buy the rights and then come back and negotiate higher rates. They would just be creating another regional sports network system that potentially they would end up paying more for at the end of the day. So Preshlak is hopeful that those two arguments will win over as he goes to market to negotiate these deals.
So how does Amazon play into all this? What did Preshlak tell you about that?
Well, Amazon is a part owner in Yes Network, and it carries, much to the chagrin of a lot of Yankees fans in New York, it carries exclusively for a couple of Yankee games every season. So it knows the RSN business. And Preshlak believes, as he's negotiating with the NBA and as he's negotiating with the NHL, that they're going to see Amazon in his corner, and the leagues are going to, it's going to be like a deal sweetener. The leagues are going to know that Amazon is going to treat their local rights well, that they have sort of the back end, that they're technically capable of streaming their games without any glitches, because they've done it before. And so they, Preshlak believes that that's a really big selling point for the leagues.
How's your bracket doing, my friend?
Terrible. I can I tell you, Peter, like, Puck hires a new guy to cover sports. I'm the only sports guy, and I think I'm ranked like 12th out of 20. It's terrible.
I'm ranked 10th. We'll see what happens. I made this note at the top of the best and the brightest, my email that went out on Monday night about Bill Cohan. I called him a only semi-annoying Duke alum. He is in the lead of the Puck office pool, and his bracket is in the top 99.7% of all ESPN entries. So he probably took a more dispassionate financial guy look at all the teams, and that's why he's winning, but who knows? It's probably
just meanwhile, as a Maryland guy, I can't pick Duke at all, right? So
Oh, I would never. I'm with you. I mean, you know, I grew up in the Raycom Jefferson Pilot media market, and growing up on ACC basketball, not being a Duke fan, I can never pick Duke either. John, thanks so much for joining me, buddy.
Hey, always. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.